Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have Dr. Steph Libs with us, and I am so excited. Most of you probably know her from Instagram, where she shares so many beautiful things about her viewpoint on motherhood and having a successful pediatric prenatal practice and raising her own babies. And I wanted to bring her on to the podcast today so she could chat with us about building a super niche down practice and using her authentic voice and all of the good things that you see her doing. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. So let's just dive into it. Like, how did you get started building your practice? Did you start right out of school? What did that look like?
Good question. So I started right out of school. I started as an IC in a practice. My in-laws are chiropractors. And so they gave me an opportunity to start at their practice and as an IC. So I really got an opportunity to build my practice there, started seeing my own patients, and literally a farmer's market started down the street from our office at like the local high school. It was this like small little thing, but I was like, this is my opportunity. I'm going to go get a booth. I'm going to be at the farmer's market. I was literally there every weekend for like 6 months. And it was, you know, this was almost 11 years ago. It was a great way to build my practice. I loved screenings, so I thought it was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of hard work also. And that was my way to do it. So my first weekend, I did a screening. I had 4 new patients sign up, and that was my week.
Oh, that's awesome. I think it's so funny because screenings get such a bad rap now into like today's world, which even when, you know, I'm talking to clients that are just starting out, I'm like, listen, social media is amazing, but if nobody knows who you are to follow you, like you have to go meet people in person first.
You have to do it somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
I also think it's very like personality dependent. Like I think you're probably very similar. Like we can go out and have a conversation with anybody, very social, very outgoing. Like, so screenings work for us. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm never afraid of screenings. I think it can be a lot of fun if you make it fun. But yeah, that's really what I did at first. And so I was at my in-laws practice for 2 years to the day. I started feeling this pull of just really wanting to open my own practice and not even necessarily build a team, but I just knew that I wanted to do it my way. I needed to have a different aesthetic to the office. That was a big thing too. I wanted a certain look.
Yep.
And my in-laws practice is fantastic. They've been in practice for over 40 years. You know, they are established, but being new, I was like, I need to do this my way. And I was kind of outgrowing the space that I was in there. So I started looking for offices and I drove home in the neighborhood I practice and I drove a slightly different way that I didn't normally drive. I don't know why I drove that night that way. And I drove past a building that I had like seen all through my childhood actually. And there was a for lease sign in the window that had fallen down. So it was like, I had to read it this way and it was dark. And I was like, wait a second. And I literally at the last minute like screeched and turned into the parking lot and pointed my headlights in because it was dark. And I like looked in the window and I was like, this is the space. It looked like a total shithole inside. Like it was dirty and disgusting and like had construction fallen down. But I knew it was the place. It like just felt right.
Yep.
I was like, this is the place for me. And I called the owner the next day and was in there literally 2 years to the day that I started my practice as an IC.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think when you know, when you find a space and you like, I remember walking into my first office, tiny, like very similar to you. Like it was garbage in there. Like I needed to clean the carpet for hours. And like, there was horrible 70s wallpaper, but I was like, I had a tingly feeling. I was like, this is it. This is it. Like, why am I so excited about this hideous space? I have no idea, but this is it. Well, by the way, when I was looking you up, because I just know you from Instagram and like ICPA and all that, like, you know, your course, all the wonderful things that you do, but your practice is called Cafe of Life. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm Circle of Life.
How funny.
Yeah. And when I was doing that, I'm like, oh my God, we have so many similarities. Now I just need to have a daughter. I have a son. Now I just need to have a daughter and we will have.
I know, right? Same name, similar office.
Exactly.
So funny. I love it.
But now Cafe of Life has how many doctors in it?
So at my office, there's five of us now. And we're looking at bringing on another doc, mainly because I have a doc who's pregnant, so we need some more coverage. So that's been our growth. And I never intended to grow to a large team. I always thought it was just going to be me, solo. Maybe I would have one associate and like they'd stay a year. I'd train them and they would leave because that seems like that's what everybody does. Yep. You know, associates don't last more than a year or two. And my longest associate has been with me for 5 years now, over 5 years, almost six. And the team has just grown and expanded from there. And it's been such a blessing. And it's funny. I was listening to your episode with Elise Rigney, and it was a similar story to hers. I was in practice and I miscarried when I was in my office as well, which was similar to her. And I knew I wanted kids and tried to get pregnant shortly after that. I literally remember when I was miscarrying, I like ran out of my office. My sister was helping me as my CA at the time. And I was like, I gotta go. Just cancel everybody for the day. And literally just ran out. You know, that's just what I had to do in that moment. And so then I got pregnant shortly after and I was like, I need coverage. I can't just close my practice. Mm-hmm. So I hired a doc to come in and cover. And then it just snowballed from there. And then I got another doc to come in because we were busier. And also, probably similar to you, I'm assuming, I was coaching with male chiropractors at the time who were really all about like, charge it and like just push, you know, push forward and like your family, you can spend time with them later. Like, it's like, what? No, what? Like, I want to feel it now.
Yep.
And I realized I was really trying to practice in my masculine and trying to do it their way. And that just didn't feel right. And so I had to like go back into my feminine. How do I do this? How do I stay in the flow of the feminine? And that's when my practice really exploded and took off. And I needed to hire more associates. I had no other choice. Otherwise, I was just turning patients away. So that really snowballed into this like bigger practice. And now it's been so amazing. And I have such a good team. I'm so grateful for all my docs who work in my office. And I really look at it as like a team. Like I want their value and their input on stuff. I really value their perspectives. A lot of them know a lot more than I do. You guys are so brilliant.
Totally. Oh, I go in now and I'm like, let me get you another doctor. Let me bring somebody else into the room right now.
Right. Let me find someone who knows more about this. And, you know, I really like a lot of new patients come in now and they have no idea I'm the owner. They have no idea. And I love that. I love that because I want all of the docs to be on an even playing field. And it's just been such an amazing collaborative team experience. So
yeah, we run a very similar ship in my practice too. And I remember, which I understand the concept from a business model, but I remember a discussion within our profession of like, oh, doc owner, primary doc charge $85 for a visit. And then you bring in these associates and they charge $45. And I'm like, that is the most downgrading thing I've ever heard. And also like, just because they don't have as much experience yet, like we're not going to do different fees, which I understand they do this in different models, but I just don't think it works in our profession, especially one, we're trying to build up these new docs and two, help their confidence, right? But two, that doesn't do anything for having us be on the same playing field, nor does it create a collaborative environment. And so the only way, especially in all female practice, I feel like thrives is when we are collaborative and we're all on the same page. We're operating out of that feminine energy. And I love that you brought that up because I do notice and I have a lot of masculine energy. That's what drives me to do 100 million things at once, you know?
Right.
But I can tell when I'm operating for too long in my masculine energy because I just feel burnout. It doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel congruent. And so I love that you even brought that up and considering that when you're building your practice. My biggest fear with an all-female team is you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I'm like, all of us are going to be pregnant at the same time. And then we're going to go from like three doctors to zero doctors. Like, what am I going to do? And so have you ever had that happen with your team?
So most of my docs are, well, out of the five of us, there are two of us who are moms and one of is newly pregnant.
Okay.
And then two others are, they say they're far off from wanting to start a company. So, you know, that's been a little bit of a good thing in a way, because two of them, I know we've got some time.
You have some coverage there.
Yeah. But so that it hasn't happened yet. Everybody has like overlapped. And it's really only been in the last 2 or 3 years that we have grown so much. Really, it was COVID. So that was a big thing. But you're right. I mean, that brings up such a tough thing. And my husband and I debate all the time about like, should we have a third? Should we not?
Uh-huh.
And it's hard. It's such a hard thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a little backstory about me. My husband is the stay-at-home dad and I'm the one who works. So we have a really reversed set of roles, which is really challenging. It's honestly mm-hmm. really, really challenging to like stay in our masculine and feminine roles. And I always like to say I'm kind of an anti-feminist feminist. Because I really think that like moms should stay with their babies. That's what's best mm-hmm. for physiology. But I have that reversed role. So I brought my son to the office for a while after he was born. It was awesome and patients loved it. That was before COVID and, you know, it was a great time. But it is hard to navigate that, like figuring out, you know, how to give everyone the space to be a mom and be a doc. And that's going to be kind of new for me this year. So with one of my docs who's pregnant, she's been with me for, you know, almost 6 years. And so we're figuring out like, what is that going to look like when she comes back?
Yeah.
And I'm very like, what do you want it to look like? How often do you want to work or not work? Like, what is your schedule? What do you want your schedule to be? And, you know, that's probably going to mean I hire on another doc to mm-hmm. almost do like a job share sort of thing, which is fine. And, you know, she's been with me for so long and I want to support her through that process. And, you know, she shouldn't have to miss out just because she has a baby.
Yeah. And I think that that's the benefit of working in a female dominated practice is that like, hey, we actually get it. We want you to tap into these other aspects of your life that you want to explore, like becoming a mom and all of that. And the nice thing is, I think for both of us, especially with family practices, is like, sure, bring your baby for the first 6 months, a couple of your shifts if you have to. I don't care. Like the baby's going to sleep in a bassinet next to our office manager while you adjust. Like we can get creative, you know? And I think it's just nice to be able to, because we have successful practices, be able to have that option to accommodate the needs of our growing team, which, you know, that's, I think that's always been the goal is like, hey, how can I support your personal goals inside of the office goals as well?
Right.
How did you, transitioning a little bit here during COVID, is that when you really like started growing your online brand and having your courses and things like that?
Yeah, well, it was actually a few things and COVID was a piece of it, but a couple years ago, my husband was working and then through a series of sort of tragic events, he lost his job and it was a huge blow to our family and personally. And it was just this massive thing. So that really pushed me to, you know, I always wanted to like teach. I always had a dream of teaching for the ICPA. I even told Jeannie when we were in school, I was like, Jeannie, I want to teach for you one day. I want to take over for you. And she was kind of like, start a practice and have a couple kids and then we'll talk. So, and then Justin asked me to teach Webster. I was like, are you serious? Are you kidding me right now? Okay. So I always knew that I wanted to do that. But through that process of us losing his income, I was like, okay, I need to do this. Like there's no better time than now. I need to get this done. And so I created an online course for chiropractors, all on infant adjusting and some really specific breastfeeding and cranial and oral work techniques and put that out there. And I was like, let's just see how this does. And I kind of just threw it out. I made a couple posts on it. And my goal for the first month, we met in a week. My goal for the first year, we met in a month.
Amazing.
And I was like, wow, okay, I think people actually really like this. So then it snowballed from there. I had moms saying, can I take this course? I was like, no, this is for chiropractors, but let me make a mom course.
Yep.
So then I made a course called The Course on Breastfeeding, which is really like all about breastfeeding. Every aspect of breastfeeding from start to finish is in that course with a bunch of parenting stuff and with chiropractic philosophy mixed through the entire thing. Because that's something I think was missing out there, was like lots of breastfeeding courses, none of them are driving families to chiropractors.
Absolutely.
So that's why I made that course. And then that really led to more speaking opportunities. I spoke at the ICPA gathering last year, and that's when Justin asked me to start teaching Webster.
Oh, I just got goosebumps. I just saw you share that reel, I guess maybe this week, you were promoting the gathering. And I didn't know that you spoke. And I also was like, I didn't even know there was a gathering in 2022. Like, but I was like newly postpartum, so I think I was living under a rock at that point. But yeah, I saw that. And then I was like, oh my God, and you're speaking. Like, that's so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's really just like how it all happened. And then I've had to shift my practice since then, because I'm like,
to accommodate all of that.
If I'm on the road teaching, you know, 10, 12, 15 seminars a year, that's my Friday, Saturday, Sunday gone with my kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm in the, I've been in the practice 5 days a week for the last, you know, many years. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So this week is my first week going to 4 days a week. It's very exciting. And, you know, it's a big deal of like, okay, like this year has really been a wake up call of like, I have to shift my schedule. I have to give more time to my family. How do I continue to be profitable and make more money and not feel like, oh, I'm taking a day off the office and I'm going to lose money?
Totally.
You know, like that's a scary thing.
There's
too,
a huge, huge mindset shift that comes with that, that I talk about with clients all the time, is it's like, hey, you might've went from small business owner to entrepreneur, but are you still an operator versus an owner? Because there's a different mindset shift that comes with that next level too.
Mm-hmm. Huge difference. And I think a big piece of it is creating the right team. And, you know, this year has really proven to me that I can leave the office and it's totally fine.
It doesn't burn down.
I just went, my family's all from Australia. I went to Australia for 3 weeks in November and then came back and we all got super sick. And so I missed a couple of days from there. And everything was fine. And my team handled everything beautifully. I didn't get any calls, no emergencies, nothing. And I was like, wow, this team is so awesome. They can do it without me. And it was a huge, like you said, just a huge wake up call and mindset shift of like, I've laid the foundation, I've built stuff. Of course, there's always things we can improve, but like, they handled it and did a beautiful job without me.
That's amazing.
Which also takes a lot of the ego out of it too.
Totally. Yeah. Like you don't have to be there for things to work.
Yeah. And that goes back into like staying in the feminine, right? Because my masculine is like, oh, ego. Like it's about me. People want to come see me. I will save the people. It's like, nope, they're going to be fine.
Yeah, they're all going to be fine. And it's funny because even like I notice both of us being outspoken online, right? Like that also just feeds the ego sometimes because people are like, oh my God, I love this. Or like people like, I get so many DMs a day that they're like, woo, fire, like this is sick, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, like let me come back to feminine. Like how can I create and make everything flow? I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, right? But I think that's everything. Like when you are an achiever at heart, like you're just going to crave more achievement. And part of us being clinic owners is like a huge achievement. So it's like, okay, great. But you know what the ultimate flex is like, we made this so successful in this beautiful collaborative team that like, we don't have to be there in order for it to work. And also it gives our doctors so much empowerment and confidence when they get to run the ship on their own and they know that they got it too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been huge too, because especially while I was gone, one of my docs, who's one of the newer ones, she was like, it was so great you being gone, because it gave her the opportunity to really step in and like not be nervous. Cause you know, it's they're nervous. Like the owner's there, like got to do well, you know? And she really thrived. And I came back and she had this whole new sense of like ownership and empowerment. And it was just beautiful.
Yes. I remember my newest associate when we gave her a shift by herself and it was like packed. And then it would be like a day where like all three of us were there, or a day. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, I don't know. I like it when you guys aren't here. I don't know what it is. And I was like, it's because we're not looking over your shoulder. You feel like you're in charge of this while we're gone. And so I was like, one, let's create that a little bit more when we're all here. But I just would notice the more at bats that she had to really find her voice and to find her unique thing, it was like she really stepped into it, which was awesome. So how long have you been teaching for the ICPA now?
So very recently, I just did my first two seminars in October and November.
Okay.
I'm teaching next month in Dallas. And so the first one I did, I co-taught with Pam Stone, who's been the current instructor since Jeannie passed. And so I co-taught with her in Florida, which was so fun. And I learned so much from her. And she was such a great mentor for me for that first one. And it really prepared me for the next one. So the next one I did in Australia on my own.
Oh, you did.
And it was just so, I had such a blast doing it. I was like, just overjoyed. Just had so much fun. So, you know, Webster is so much information. It's so content packed. And so it was a lot to teach that to 70 docs that were there. And luckily I had a couple previously Webster certified docs who helped and stepped in with the hands-on part, which is great. Yeah. And then the next one will be in Dallas. And then we're kind of planning the rest of the year. I think we're going to do one here in San Diego in June. So especially for any California docs listening, it's really hard to get CEs in California now. Come on.
Well,
down.
And I know that for a while. So will you and Pam Stone both be teaching it then, just different parts of the country? Or are you transitioning to where Webster's yours?
No. So there will be myself, Pam Stone, and Jen Santos. So the three of us are
great.
Teaching. Mm-hmm. So it's really great. It gives a more opportunity in more locations for Webster's.
Yes.
So now docs will be able to just have more opportunity. So we're going to kind of be regional-ish. So I'll be like Southern California to maybe like middle of the country, something like that. But we're still ironing out the details. This is the first time that the ICPA has ever had multiple instructors for one course, especially Webster. So it's, you know, we're taking some brain power
to figure it out. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I love that. I mean, that is a good move for them for sure.
Yeah.
And that's always been my thing with ICPA, because I completed my CACCP my first year. Like I did everything while I was still a student, but that's when you had to do research back then. And so that portion, but I always just remember being like, the ICPA is such an incredible organization. It just needs to be more available to doctors, you know? And so I love that they're trying to get seminars more places.
Yeah.
How, for the listeners listening, because I know working with a lot of women in chiropractic, they have a hard time finding their voice and they are just nervous to actually say what's on their mind. And so how did you find that voice of yours and, you know, to one, put it online, but two, to be confident in knowing that you were one, probably going to get backlash and two, not really caring about what the haters would say?
Okay. So yeah, this is like a whole thing. Okay. I will say for a really long time was like, I'm not going to put stuff out there. I'm just going to stay in my practice, do my thing here in my community. That's enough. I don't need to put stuff out there. I don't need to ruffle feathers. I don't want to be an influencer with the hat. They love the big hat. You have to have the hat. So I was like super against it for a long time. And then I had a couple patients who were also friends of mine. And they were like, Steph, you have to put stuff out there. And I was like, why? Like, no, I don't want to do that. They were like, Steph, you have so much information in your brain. Everyone in the mom group comes to you for questions on everything. Like, you owe it to the world to put it out there. And I was like, okay. They were like, the information in your head does no good if it's in your head and nowhere else. I was like, all right, good point. Fine. And so I recruited a couple mom friends of mine who I knew were influencers and asked them some advice, like, what do I do? So I started putting some more stuff out there and honestly did get a lot of haters. Mm-hmm. And I would respond and like defend myself and do the whole thing. And it was stressful, honestly. There were some times where I was like, oh, someone made a comment. It was like they were actually right. And damn it, it kind of ruined my day. Now I feel down on myself.
Yep.
So then I realized, like, okay, if I'm going to post stuff, I've got to be right on. I've got to make sure I'm using certain language. And since then, I've hired a social media company. They help me with everything. They're amazing. They're two sisters, Rising Tide Social. Shout out to them. They really know chiropractic. I give them so much information and then they turn it into like beautiful stuff for me. So it is me on social media, but they make it pretty. They make it accessible. They're a little spicier than I am. Sometimes they'll push the envelope even more than I will. But what I've realized with them is put stuff out there. And if there are haters, like, I fucking block them. Like, yeah. I don't need that in my day. I don't need to respond to that. It's my page. It's my house. You want to come to my house? You be nice. If you don't want to come, if you're going to be mean, I'm going to kick you out. Like, that's fine. So I have no problem blocking people. But honestly, I don't even get that anymore. It was like, on Instagram, there was like a period of time between the like 2,000 to 5,000 follower mark where I did get a lot of haters and a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. And then since then, now I'm at like,
it's just people that are so aligned.
People so aligned and, you know,
and tons of chiropractors. So we're like, fuck yeah, say it, Steph. Say it because I won't. Even your stuff, I'm like, God. Because I always, like, my girls at the office will always be like, why don't you post that? I'm like, I'm not posting it. And I'm like in a very similar state to you, Jersey's cutthroat. But I do find, it's funny because I do find when it comes to like the business aspect and the wealthy practitioner, I'll be like, you're broke because you don't fucking charge enough. What do you want me to tell? Like, I found my voice there, right?
Exactly.
Right. So I'm like, I just had to find the avenue. I'm still a little refrained. We're not going to talk about circumcision or vaccines because I don't have the energy for it. But I will tell you these other things. But I love that. And I do think too, I remember the first time I got a hater. And my husband is just like a huge teddy bear. And he's got so upset. And he was like, I'm going to have to get my skin thicker. Cause he's like, I can't handle these people hating on you. Right. And I was like, babe, literally, it's fine. It doesn't matter. But the first, he was like, just delete it. And I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm like, like going back. And he's like, Stephanie, you're going to have anxiety all day after doing that. And I'm like, you're right. So I just went back and delete it because in the beginning, it's like such an emotional charge. But I do think that one, it lessens, but you also are just like, gosh, I don't care. Like even for you to come to my page and spew hate, like you have too much time on your hands, you know?
Exactly. And what I realized is language is really important. So like, for instance, I try not to use absolutes.
Yep.
So I won't say like vaccines are toxic. Mm-hmm. Like I don't usually say that. I'll say vaccines can have a toxic effect on some babies, right? It can and some. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that, you can't argue that.
You can't argue with that.
True. Yeah. That is documented in the research. It's true. So I try and make sure what I say is true and can't be argued. You know what I mean? So if someone comes and they're like, vaccine, you're saying vaccines are toxic to all babies? No. Mm-hmm. I said vaccines can have a toxic effect for some babies. Reread it. You can't argue that. That's it.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's such a good point. Do you have goals with your courses and stuff? Are you wanting to hone in on that? Obviously, you have a lot now. You're going to be committed to a lot of travel now with the ICP. And it sounds like that was a huge goal that was on your vision board for years. So is that kind of your focus right now, just maintaining the courses you've built and then really focusing on the ICPA community?
Yeah, so it's tough because the last few months and like this next year is probably going to be a little bit of a transition year for me because there's a lot of change going on of teaching for the ICPA, figuring out what my schedule is going to be for that and how often I'm going to be doing that, teaching my own courses as well because I teach my own in-person infant adjusting courses. And then with one of my docs being pregnant and, you know,
there's a lot of unknowns.
There's a lot of unknown. And I'm kind of like, I'm just going into this year. Like my word for 2024 is fun. I just want to have more fun this year.
Yeah.
And like go with the flow and we'll just figure it out. And that's it. So that's my goal for this year. But I do have certain goals with the courses that I want to do. And, you know, I want to update a few things on them as well. Cause there's a few things that have changed and some things I want to add. I've also had a lot of requests for an online vaccine course. So I've been teaching an in-person vaccine course in my office for years, and I had a request for it to be online. And I've always said, I will never put it online because I don't want to take it out of context, whatever. Uh-huh. But now I'm like, everything's online and I'm feeling the pull and the call to do that. So mm-hmm. I think I will be adding that course online pretty soon.
Awesome.
So hopefully I'll get that out this year or in the next couple months. But the course on breastfeeding that I made, I really want to put that into more hands of more moms, because I think it's super important to get them empowered before they even have the baby. I give the course to all my patients in my office, and the ones that actually go through it are like ready to go when baby's born. They might have some struggles, but they've got all the mechanics and the basics down. And mm-hmm. so when they come in, it's like, okay, now we're just fine tuning and they've got it. So that's really my goal for everybody. And so what I've been doing for chiropractors is offering the course on breastfeeding for free to chiropractors so that they can take it, watch it, learn more about how to take care of these moms, and then offer it to their moms, and then they can get an affiliate fee if they would like. So awesome. I like that way of doing it because I can offer it. They can, if docs like it, they can request it and then, or suggest it, and then they can get paid on it. And then we can all make more money.
Yeah, so that's great. I love that.
That's a nice little side hustle for everybody to win.
I love that. Yeah. And I think one thing that I share with my clients, like affiliate marketing, like we have to get creative, whether it's a course that you're doing within your own office or other partnerships that you have, like affiliate marketing is the way to go. So we need to all be thinking in that way. As we start to wind down here, I always love to ask.
We can wine ourselves.
Maybe a little bit of both. Obviously we're called the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. What does being wealthy mean to you?
Oh, good question. So I do think that finance is certainly like a big part of that. Actually having money to give you more freedom. Mm-hmm. I think that's the main thing, is more freedom. And, you know, it's so funny because the last couple of years, I feel like I've elevated a little bit more each year into different levels of wealth. And mm-hmm. it's interesting how that changes even like your friend circle and the people we hang out with and associate with is very different than maybe it was a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's just interesting the mindset of the people you surround yourself with. So I really look at it as like freedom to do the things that truly matter to you. Mm-hmm. And that is just such a better way to live life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is a hard reality as you grow and develop as a person. Naturally, your abundance that you attract is going to grow and develop with you. And a lot of that abundance in many forms scares a lot of people. And it causes a lot of projection and a lot of limiting beliefs to rise up that they currently possess too. And so that's one thing as my husband and I just continue working on building our wealth and our legacy is we're like, okay, wow, we really need to meet some more people that are like us that are on this path that just want to do big things in this life. And, but it's good. It causes us to have that reflection and be like, are the people in our lives currently still going to be with us when we get to that next level? You know? So I think it's a good thing to constantly assess.
Yeah, I would agree for sure. And you know, you bring up a good point. Like it's such a funny thing. There's almost this like fear of wealth also. I know that has been me because I did not come from money. Mm-hmm. I have had very supportive parents. My dad passed away 2 years ago and like he didn't have much of anything. And my mom was a very hard worker. My parents were divorced. So I had like this weird upbringing of a childhood of like security over here and then like scarcity over here. And it was kind of bizarre and led to me having these really weird thoughts and this weird relationship with money that I've really had to work on.
Yeah.
And I now even teach my kids about like respecting money.
Yes.
You know, we just took my daughter to the bank and had her like deposit some cash and had her count it out. And like, we put all the bills facing the same way and in order and you know, like you'll never find a crumpled up dollar in my purse. You just
right. Because you have to, love and take care of the money you do have. Yes. So more of its friends want to show up.
Exactly.
Yeah. My husband and I also want our son to just know, like, hey, there's abundance that surrounds you, whether everybody that we know believes that or not, we believe that. And here's how you ensure that there's more that comes to you. Here's the metrics and the values that we live by. Because I do think that most of us that are hanging on to money mindset beliefs, they were programmed into us at an early age, just like anything else, you know? So we have to do work to truly, truly remove those so that we can attract more to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That is thank you so much for joining me. This was awesome. I feel like we could talk for hours at this point. I'm like, how are we already out of time? But I will throw it in the show notes as well. But for those that want to find you on Instagram, if they're not already following you, what is your handle?
Dr. Steph Libs is my handle. You can find me on there for lots of spicy, spicy content.
Amazing. Thank you. See you next week, guys.
Thanks, Steph.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.